Hello, and welcome to week number 6, Knocking Your Tox Off, my home study program on environmental toxins. As you may have discovered during this program, doing one thing can't help you lose weight. It's a cascade of actions. You need the right nutrition, the proper ratios of proteins and carbs, the proper amount of rest, stress-reducing activities, and the right foods to balance your emotions and moods. But you also need to look at your environment and limit your exposure to toxins that could be making you sick and overweight. In this program, I will share with you some facts on how extensive our toxic exposure is and why reducing our toxic load is so important. We will look at some common sources of environmental toxins and discuss the symptoms of toxicity. Then I will show you ways to reduce your toxic exposure and support your body's detox function without using any expensive supplements or equipment. For those who want to take the next step, I will show you why detox done incorrectly can backfire and how to pick a safe and effective detox program. I wish I could do a brain dump here and tell you everything I know about toxins, but that would take several hours, if not days. I'll share with you how to connect with me after the program to tackle this step in more detail. Before we start, I want to quickly tell you the reason why I'm creating this program. There are a lot of myths and misconceptions around detoxing these days. Detoxing, when done without proper supervision and instruction, can be at best ineffective and at worst downright harmful to our health. There are also many supplements and expensive programs and equipment out there aiming at folks who have the awareness and want to do something, but don't have the right kind of information to make an informed decision. During my 50-pound weight loss last year, I struggled when I hit a plateau at 40 pounds. I looked for new ways to work out, new ways to add more veggies and cut more carbs, but I still wasn't losing any more weight. Then I decided to dig deeper and look at other possible causes for weight gain, and what I found was that you could be carrying 5 to 10 pounds of toxic waste in your body. So, I educated myself. I did a ton of research. Then I cleaned up my personal care products, my cleaning products, my water, my cookware, and even how I stored my food. Then I followed a simple detoxifying cleanse for a few days, and 2 months later, the last 10 pounds were gone. I've been able to maintain my new weight for over a year now. Now, in working with my clients, my intention is to help them detox their life, their diet, and their environment so that they too can experience these dramatic improvements. For beginners, I don't believe aggressive protocols are the best option. There are easy and simple steps that one can take to get the body on track and pave the way for more extensive and comprehensive protocols when the body is ready. Now, I want you to set a goal for doing the work to support your body to eliminate toxins and reduce your toxic load exposure. Note that toxicity expresses itself differently in different people, so it's hard to nail down one or two specific outcomes that you will experience. In this case, it's best to set the goal of following the recommendations you learn from this program and implementing them in a certain sequence by a certain date. You will experience the difference, I promise. The first step to making changes is to cultivate awareness. As I mentioned, since toxins affect different people in different ways, it's very important to cultivate the awareness so that you can understand the effects of different types of foods and chemicals on your body. When you make a change to your diet or lifestyle, pay special attention to how your body feels in terms of energy or mental clarity, how your skin reacts, or how your digestive system responds. Okay, now let's move on to the content part of the course. Before we go too far, I want to make sure we all understand what environmental toxins are. Since 1950, 84,000 chemicals have been introduced into our world, and the vast majority of them have never been tested on human or animal health for safety. Studies have found over 400 different synthetic chemicals in our blood. They don't just make us fat, They are linked to thyroid disorders, infertility, heart disease, cancer, ADHD, autism, and much more. They're poisonous substances that come from outside the body, and they can be lumped into a few categories. We have chemicals, such as plastics, pesticides, gasoline, and cleaning supplies, substances that should not be in our bodies. We also have metals and gases, heavy metals like mercury and lead, and then gases like arsenic, fluoride, chlorine. Okay, so how toxic are you? You may think, well, Cindy, I don't work with pesticides or cleaning supplies. I don't have lead paint in my home, and I don't have mercury fillings, and I buy organic, at least most of the time. So I can't be that toxic, right? Well, sadly, the question is no longer if we are toxic. The real question is how toxic are we? Everybody in this world has a detectable level of toxins in our blood. Studies have shown that every organism on the planet has detectable levels of Teflon, the nonstick coating in our body. A benchmark investigation of industrial chemicals, pollutants, and pesticides in umbilical cord blood by the Environmental Working Group, you may remember them, they're the American Watchdog Group. So back in 2005, this study showed that 287 chemicals were detected in umbilical cord blood of newborns. They include pesticides, consumer product ingredients, and waste materials from burning coal, gasoline, or garbage. 180 of the 287 chemicals found are known to cause cancer in humans or animals. 217 of those are toxic to the brain and nervous system, and 208 of those are shown to cause birth defects or abnormal development in animal tests. Our babies are born with toxic substances in their bodies even before being exposed to the toxins. Did you know that toxins from food and the environment are stored in our fat cells? Yuck, right? Well, the worst part is once they are there, it's very difficult to get them back out. Our bodies are smart, and foreign substances are held quarantined in our fat cells. So here you are exercising like crazy and hungry all the time, trying to lose weight, and your body is hanging on to this stuff because it doesn't know what else to do with it. Here's some disturbing information from the May 2010 report from the White House Task Force on Childhood Obesity. Some scientists have coined the term obesogens for chemicals that they believe promote weight gain and obesity. Such chemicals may promote obesity by increasing the number of fat cells, changing the amount of calories burned at rest, altering energy balance, and altering the body's mechanism for appetite and satisfaction. Fetal and infant exposure to such chemicals may result in more weight gain per food consumed and also possibly less weight loss per amount of energy expended. The health effects of these chemicals during fetal and infant development may persist throughout life long after the exposures occur. Scary, right? Now, you may think, where did all these toxins come from? Turns out they're lurking everywhere in our everyday environment. The CDC's fourth national report on human exposure to environmental chemicals showed that 212 chemicals tested, all are found in blood and urine of most Americans. So six chemicals in particular are found in virtually every single person, and they have been identified by the CDC as probable health hazards. They are PDEs, bisphenol A or BPA, PFOA, which is the chemical in Teflon or nonstick coatings, acrylamide, mercury, and methyl tert butyl ether, or MTBEs. I'm going to go through them briefly so that you can have an understanding on how they impact our health and where you'll find them. So PDEs, which is polybrominated diphenyl ethers, is used as a flame retardant in all building construction. It is found in every building. It builds up in human fat tissue, causing damage to the nervous system, the liver, and kidney. Studies also implicated PDEs in causing sexual dysfunction, thyroid problems, and brain disorders. Now, bisphenol A, or BPA, is found in plastic products and food storage containers, canned food linings, and even cash register receipts. Until recently, it was considered safe. But if you remember back a few years ago, they discovered that it was leaching out of baby bottles and they banned it from baby bottles. Unfortunately, they stopped right there. Primarily, human exposure is through food packaging plastics. More than 90% of people tested by the CDC were found to have BPA in their bodies. Because BPA is a reproductive, developmental, and systemic toxin in animal studies and is weakly estrogenic, there are questions about its potential impact, particularly on children's health and the environment. Even a small amount has been found to have an impact on a reproductive system. BPA is a synthetic estrogen, and it has the ability to block or mimic natural estrogen in the body. It is part of a class of chemicals called obesogens, which means they may alter human metabolism and predisposes some people to gain weight. To reduce your exposure, avoid all plastic utensils and containers that have that chasing arrows symbol on the bottom, the number 7 recycling symbol. Also, minimize canned foods in your diet because they are used in the linings of all canned foods, especially canned tomatoes. The acidity from the tomatoes causes the BPA in the lining to react and break down, leaching BPA into the tomatoes. You want to use fresh or frozen foods instead. Next up is PFOA, better known by its name brand of Teflon, or non-stick coatings. Now, non-stick coatings are convenient and easy to clean. However, this non-stick coating is classified as an obesogen and as a suspected hormone-disrupting chemical like BPA. But in many cases, it's much worse. This PFOA is a chemical that is persistent and bioaccumulative. This means that it persists in the environment and in our bodies for a very, very long time. In fact, PFOA doesn't break down like most other chemicals do. So what that means is that every single molecule of PFOA that has ever been produced, going back to the 1950s when it was developed, is still in existence. In our bodies, it has a half-life of 3 to 5 years, which means that any measurable amount of PFOA in our blood will take 3 to 5 years to be reduced only by half, and another 3 to 5 years to reduce whatever is left by half, and so on and so on. The reality is that we're building up in our bodies faster than we can break it down. 98% of the U.S. population has PFOA circulating in their bodies right now. It is so ubiquitous in the environment that it has even been found in polar bears in the Arctic because it just doesn't break down. It persists in the environment, so it travels on air currents, it travels in ocean currents, and ends up in all corners of the earth. It's found in nonstick cookware like frying pans, pots, muffin tins, and cookie sheets, also stain-resistant clothing, certain food packaging like microwave popcorn bags, and other heat-resistant products. Nonstick cookware with a damaged surface is what's particularly dangerous. You want to throw those out right away if they become scratched. Studies have verified that PFOA contributes to infertility and other reproductive problems. It also contributes to liver and immune system dysfunction. And to minimize your exposure, switch out your cookware if you're using nonstick pots and pans. Yes, I know they're easy to cook with and clean, but this is a place where better safe than sorry. If you can't replace them, use with low heat and non-metal utensils. Stainless steel and cast iron pans are the best choices here. Next up is acrylamide. It is a chemical carcinogen formed when carbohydrates and protein foods are cooked at high temperatures. Perpetual exposure is linked to cancer and neurological dysfunction. It is most often found in charred food, French fries, fried chicken, coffee, as well as plastics, cosmetics, and water treatment products. To minimize your exposure, you want to reduce the amount of charred and fried foods that you consume on a regular basis. For example, like when you are barbecuing, low heat is the way to go. Next up is mercury. Most common exposure to mercury is through seafood. Mercury may cause permanent brain damage, neurological problems. Many neurological problems. Fish that are big and high in the food chain that eat the smaller fish store more mercury in their tissues. So you want to minimize your consumption of king mackerel, shark, swordfish, and tilefish. These four fish have been found by the FDA to have the highest mercury content in their meat. So that's king mackerel, shark, swordfish, and tilefish. Mercury in dental filling is a controversial topic, but more and more dentists are switching out mercury-containing fillings to ones that don't contain it. So I would recommend requesting a non-mercury filling if you plan to have fillings done in the future. You can also opt to have your mercury fillings removed. You need to see a special dentist who is trained in this procedure because it's very convoluted. You want to make sure that you're well prepared before the procedure by supporting your detox organs, and after the procedure, you need to follow a proper chelation therapy, which means you'll need to take supplements such as chlorella to help grab the mercury and help your body excrete it. If you're planning to get pregnant, you want to leave at least 6 to 12 months after the procedure before trying. And if you are pregnant, you want to definitely hold off on the procedure. You can't do it. Next up are MTBEs, or methyl tert-butyl ether. It is a gasoline additive, and it's not currently used in the U.S., but it is used in Mexico, and it is detected in most Americans' body and in most Americans' bodies and our water supply. Additional exposure is from secondhand cigarette smoke, and it causes neurological and reproductive problems. So these are the six most commonly found environmental toxins that we potentially come into contact with every day. So imagine where the other 200 plus can be lurking and what they're doing to our body. Now you may wonder, how can I tell if my body is suffering from health issues related to toxic exposure? We are all different genetically, so we all react to toxins differently and can tolerate different dosages. But toxic exposure can manifest itself to itself in different ways. Common symptoms of excessive toxic burden can include fatigue, depression, headaches, cognitive problems like brain fog or memory problems, excuse me, neurological issues, balance problems, or tremors. On top of the symptoms above, some conditions and diseases are associated with excessive toxic burden. The toxins probably do not cause these conditions, but they affect the expression and symptoms of these diseases, and they are allergies and asthma, diabetes, obesity, a chemical sensitivity, which means when you experience an adverse physical, mental, or emotional reaction to the presence of a chemical smell, fibromyalgia, fertility problems and birth defects, Parkinson's disease, bone marrow cancers such as lymphomas and leukemia, and autoimmune diseases such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, MS. So if someone were suffering from the conditions above, it would be helpful to evaluate their toxin exposure See how to reduce toxic load and go through a detox process, if the condition allows, to relieve these symptoms. Besides exacerbating symptoms of some health conditions, some studies have shown a relationship between toxins and certain diseases. Dioxin has been associated with type 2 diabetes. In a 2006 study published in the Environmental Health Perspectives, it showed the link between exposure to dioxins, which is a common toxin, and type 2 diabetes. There is a direct correlation. The higher the exposure level, the higher the chances of having diabetes. Dioxins are found to promote type 2 diabetes in humans. Dioxins are present in farm-raised fish, dairy products, and conventional beef. BPA, bisphenol A, has been linked to type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. In a study published in 2008, a strong relationship is found between urine concentrations of BPA and the incidence of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and liver enzyme abnormalities in a representative sample of the adult U.S. population. BPA is found in a lot of packaging plastics for food, food storage, and canned food linings. Heavy metals, of course, have a very close connection to neurological disorders. On the EPA website, it is stated that patients are routinely exposed to heavy metal toxins through food, groundwater, industrial waste, and exposure to industrial environments. Lead has been found in our water supply and mercury in fish. It is also hypothesized that toxin exposure is linked to the following increases in disease rates. Some of the conditions that have experienced rapid increase are autism, male birth defects, childhood asthma, acute leukemia, childhood brain cancer, preterm birth, infertility, birth defects, and a decrease in sperm count. So here we conclude the first segment of the program, in which my intention is to arm you with facts and knowledge so that you have the awareness to avoid sources of environmental toxins and understand their impact on our health. I don't mean to alarm you or overwhelm you with all the numbers and research findings, but I do hope that you can cultivate a higher level of awareness and may be able to share this knowledge with those around you so that more people are educated on how our health is being affected by the chemicals around us. My hope is to educate you and arm you with this information to limit you and your loved ones' exposure to toxins. So to sum up what we discussed thus far, we talked about what toxins are and the extent to which all of us are exposed to them. We discussed the six most common toxins, what they are, and the routes of exposure. Lastly, we saw some examples of symptoms of toxicity and how some toxins were found to exacerbate certain conditions. To wrap up this segment, I want you to write down three ways that you can reduce your exposure to environmental toxins based on the sources that I discussed just now. In our next segment, we're going to look at some concrete action steps, what you can do right away to reduce your toxic exposure and reduce your toxic load without any complicated protocol or expensive programs or supplements. For those who are ready and want to take detox to the next level, I will introduce you how to detox safely, what to look out for in a safe protocol, and what you can expect during and after a detox program. Last but not least, I want to acknowledge you for taking action and improving your health. Okay, we'll jump right in with some action steps. Some things that you can do right away to reduce your toxic exposure without any complicated programs. Okay, so I want to approach toxic load reduction from two perspectives. First, we reduce the toxins coming in, and then we increase our body's ability to get rid of stored toxins. So I use three main approaches. Reduce the exposure, use food and herbs to support your body's natural detoxification process, and detox regularly to reduce toxin storage. To lower our toxic load is best to start with reducing the amount of toxins that we are putting into our body so that our detox organs, our liver and kidneys, can get some rest and free up bandwidth to deal with stored toxins. A lot of these toxins in these chemicals are lipophilic, meaning fat-loving, and they are accumulated and stored in our fat cells. That's why it's so important to properly detox your body a few times a year. Now, food and beverages are the most common exposure route to the majority of toxins. 90% of our toxin exposure to certain chemicals such as PCBs and dioxins come from the food we eat. 35% of all the foods we purchase in U.S. supermarkets have measurable pesticide residues, which make their way into our bodies. Pesticides are designed to kill pests, and they are poison. For example, regular conventional strawberries are sprayed with 54 different types of pesticides and chemicals. Now, because the berry's skin is so porous, the pesticide doesn't just sit on the outside, it's systemic, meaning it can't be washed off. That's why it's so important to buy organic blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. So to reduce your exposure to pesticides and herbicides from your food, you want to avoid eating fruits and vegetables grown conventionally, like those listed on the Dirty Dozen list. The Dirty Dozen is a list of fruits and vegetables that, because of the way they are grown, we ingest a relatively high dose of pesticides and herbicides. So you want to choose organic for the Dirty Dozen. And I've included a handout called The Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 on the downloads page. Now, animal food can also be a significant source of toxins, especially conventionally raised and high-fat animal products. Conventionally raised meat and dairy products have consistently been tested and found to have the highest levels of hormone-disrupting chemicals in them. An estimated 25 million pounds of antibiotics are fed to livestock each year. The animal feed is also highly sprayed with chemicals as well. Animal feed contains high quantities of fat, which allow for the storage of fat-soluble chemicals and toxins to get into the meat. The chemicals are then passed on to the human digestive system in our body when we eat the products. So here's what you can do to reduce your toxic exposure from food and beverages. Choose free-range, hormone-free, antibiotic-free dairy, meat, and pastured eggs whenever possible. Choose fresh, cold water fish that is wild-caught instead of farm-raised. Farm-raised fish have higher levels of PCBs and are also lower in the good omega-3 fatty acids. Most of that pink color from farm-raised salmon is actually created using a red dye. So you want to ask when you go to a restaurant, if you see salmon on the menu, ask them, is this farm-raised or wild, you know, Atlantic or wild Alaskan salmon? And if they say it's farm-raised, it's time to look for a different item on that menu or a different restaurant. You want to take care to identify fish that potentially contain a high level of mercury. Avoid those swordfish and shark. Whenever possible, buy organic produce, especially those on the Dirty Dozen, and always, always wash all your produce very well before eating, peeling, or cooking. Okay, next up, we'll switch gears here and talk about plastic containers. Plastics contain a number of chemicals that are potentially harmful. Avoid plastic containers and packaging as much as possible for food storage to prevent chemicals from leaching into your food, particularly for hot or acidic foods. Take tomatoes, for example. Have you ever stored pasta sauce in a plastic food container and it never really comes clean? It has this orangish hue on the inside? That's because the bisphenol A, or BPA, gets broken down and is leaching when it comes into contact with any heat, oil, or acidity. Three things that you would find in tomato sauce: hot tomato sauce, oil, and acid. Your sauce is reacting with the container, and it now has detectable levels of BPA in it. The reality is that plastic is a material, it's not totally stable from a molecular structural standpoint. It's always in a state of slowly breaking down. The molecules that make up plastic are not tightly bound like they are, say, in glass. And the result of this is that those molecules that make up the plastic are constantly shedding. They're constantly in a state of falling off. This is why it's so easy for those chemicals to leach. With the hot, oily, acidic sauce that is touching the plastic, the physical lines of the plastic is blurred, and the result is that some of this reddish-orange pasta sauce migrates into the actual plastic. So what you were seeing is pasta sauce inside the plastic. This is why it doesn't wash off in the dishwasher, because it's not on the plastic, it's in the plastic. The other way to look at this is that if there's sauce in your plastic, there's plastic in your sauce. So here are a few things that you can do. Use stainless steel or glass drinking containers. Reduce or eliminate all plastic utensils, plates, and storage containers. You want to store your food in non-plastic containers and bags when possible. Use glass or Pyrex containers. My favorite are mason jars. I use a ton of them to store my leftovers and soups. You just want to make sure you leave a little bit of headspace if you decide to freeze your item in a mason jar. And never, ever, ever microwave in plastic containers. Next up, personal and household products. A lot of chemicals are lurking in our personal care products. Two of them are parabens and phthalates. These chemicals are carcinogens and they cause hormone disruption. Parabens are listed in dozens of personal care products. Mostly you'll find them in lotions like methylparaben. These are hormone disrupting and affect the thyroid and much more. Has someone ever walked by you and their shampoo or their perfume lingers in the air even after they've left the room? Well, that's phthalates or chemical plasticizers hard at work. They are not required to be listed as an ingredient if it's used to create a smooth, creamy texture. It hides behind the umbrella term fragrance or perfume on a product label. So it's best to switch out personal and household products that contain only natural ingredients with as few chemicals as possible. Toss those that list fragrance as an ingredient because that's the phthalates. To clean your home, you really only need plain vinegar and water. You can use equal parts water to vinegar. And if the vinegar smell bothers you, just add a few drops of an essential oil like lemon or lime or thyme or lavender or cinnamon. I actually sell doTERRA essential oils and I use them all over my house for cleaning. I use them for first aid, weight loss, tummy troubles, immunity, and much more. So I'll give you a link on your handouts for more information about those. So besides lowering your exposure, you also want to support your body's natural cleansing system so that stored toxins can be processed and eliminated. Our detox organs include the liver, the kidney, the colon, the lymphatic system, and our skin. Raw foods and leafy green vegetables are very cleansing. My favorite way to support liver function is to drink a cup of warm water with the juice of half a lemon first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. Carrot and apple are great for supporting elimination through the colon, while beet and beet juice support liver and lymphatic detox. Sweating through means such as through exercise or in a sauna is a great way to facilitate elimination through the skin, which is our body's, largest elimination organ. Dry skin brushing also helps stimulate the skin and open up the pores and eliminate toxins as well. There are herbs you can use to help support your detox organs as well. A couple examples are milk thistle to support liver and dandelion to support your kidneys. I don't recommend long-term use of laxative herbs as a way to detox because they can be quite depleting over time, and you could also develop a dependency on those. Last but absolutely not least is to make sure you are well hydrated. Water helps our body flush out toxins, so you want to make sure you're drinking clean, filtered water and non-caffeinated herbal tea. Sugary beverages are not recommended, and anything with caffeine, which is a diuretic, actually defeats the purpose because it moves water out of the body. If you're doing a cleanse program and suffer from detox symptoms such as flu-like symptoms or headaches or irritability, fatigue or cravings, skin rashes, drinking a lot of water can usually ease the discomfort because it helps flush the toxins out of the body more quickly. Certain yoga poses are great to stimulate and support our body's detox process as well. Yoga, twisting poses, the seated spinal twist, head to knee forward bend, the cat-cow pose, those create movement in the abdominal muscles and can help stimulate intestinal movements. Stress management should also be an integral part of a detox program. Forward bending poses soothe the nervous system while hip opening poses release tension. So try the seated forward bend, the standing forward bend, and the pose called pigeon. So doing what we just discussed is a great start to lowering your toxic load and preparing your body for a more comprehensive protocol. If you're ready to take detox to the next level, you can do a detox program regularly. About once or twice a year is good, spring and fall. Also note that if you're looking to start a weight loss program, it's best to go through a supervised detox program so that fewer problems will arise when the toxins are released as the fat cells are burned off. Excuse me. Detoxification is a process during which you normalize the body's natural ability to process and excrete toxins that are stored in fat cells while you temporarily reduce the amount of incoming toxins. After a detox program, most people experience pretty dramatic results like weight loss and clearer skin, reduced stress, more energy, a clearer mind, improved immune function, better digestion, reduced cravings, and a better hormonal balance. Excuse me. Before you get too excited and jump on the first program you find, though, please know that all detox programs are not created equal. So here are three criteria that I would recommend before you make any decision. Find a well-designed protocol that takes a gradual approach that can minimize withdrawal symptoms and a sudden toxin release. When toxins are released suddenly into our body in a large quantity, our body systems won't be able to handle this sudden influx, and the excess toxins, which don't get processed and eliminated, will eventually get reabsorbed into the body's tissues. So you can experience all these detoxing symptoms such as fatigue and headache, but not much of the long-term benefits. So reduce the extent of detox systems can help with the success rate because the withdrawal symptoms are usually what make people quit. Secondly, starving does not equal detox. In fact, when you detox, it's a very energy-intensive process, and our body actually uses more energy when it's asked to do such work. So you want to make sure the program lets you take in enough calories to support the body's natural detoxification and elimination process. It's also needed to maintain metabolism to avoid weight gain after the program. Lastly, find a well-designed, comprehensive program that will address the issues of addiction such as sugar, caffeine, and alcohol prior to the start of the program, because withdrawal symptoms can be very challenging for those folks who are dependent on those substances. And speaking of withdrawal and detox symptoms, a well-designed program should also give you the tools to deal with these instances to help you with your success rate. You could also try the sugar cleanse that we did in week 2 again as well. If you want to take reducing your toxic load to the next level, I'll tell you a little bit about my Knocking Your Tox Off Detox Program. I have a comprehensive program where we go room by room in your home and office and car to identify potential toxins and come up with safer choices together. This can be done virtually or in person. The information I shared with you today is just the tip of the iceberg, unfortunately. I also have a 7-day spring and fall detox program that involves using whole foods as a means to cleanse the body. The detox contains dozens of recipes for smoothies and soups and tonics to cleanse the body. The spring detox will be released on my website in early April, and the fall detox is available in October. Combining the knowledge you learned in this course with the support of this detox program to take action is the best formula to guarantee success. So I want to take a couple of moments and share with you how I can further support you. If what we talked about over the last 6 weeks resonates with you and you want to find out more about my work, you can check out my other courses and coaching services at unlockbetterhealth.com. I want to invite each of you to a complimentary discovery session where we can connect one-on-one for 30 minutes. I screen my clients very carefully to make sure that we're a good fit and that they're ready to commit, take action, and create success. During this free session, you will have my undivided attention and we'll explore and create health goals together. Create a roadmap to support your effort and define the building blocks that will lead to success. We'll uncover the one thing that is holding you back and blocking you from reaching your goals, and discover the one thing you can do right away to help jumpstart your journey to health and wellness. We'll complete the session with the excitement of knowing exactly what you need to succeed and see how my services can support you to help you reach your goals. You can contact me on our Facebook group page or my health coaching page at Unlock Better Health, or just email me at cindysantaanna@gmail.com. The consultation is free and just takes 30 minutes. Well, this concludes my Knocking Your Tox Off module and my 6-week Jumpstart Home Study program. And I want to acknowledge you in taking action to support your health and wellness. So please stay in touch. Sign up for my monthly newsletter. Send me a note and let me know how you're doing after this program. I look forward to seeing you in my other home study programs, classes, or coaching programs. Take care and good luck.